Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Another Baseball America playoff podcast. J.J. Cooper and Kyle Glazer are joining you today. We have a lot to chew over. Two series that still continue. The Cubs ensured that we do have baseball today on Thursday, which, yay for baseball.
Always.
As always. But before we do that, we do want to thank you for tuning in. We want to remind you that our podcast is sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. Shop now at baseballism.com and enter the offer code BASHIP, that's B-A-S-H-I-P, and receive free shipping on your order. Visit baseballism.com to shop for hats, shirts, and more today. So, Kyle, I'm going to put you in the driver's seat here. Do you want to talk about the Cubs staying alive, or do you want to talk about the Yankees first, who have...
I think we should go in order in which the games were played. In that case, start with Yankees-Astros. The biggest thing for me that has turned the series around, the Yankees, a lot of attention is being paid to the fact that the Astros offense has completely disappeared. If you look at it, the Yankees pitched well those first two games. That isn't what's changed. It's a testament to the Yankees and their pitching staff and how they've done a great job holding down baseball's best offense. But Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, John, our editor-in-chief, likes to talk about it all the time, that your stars are who is going to carry you. And even if you have the deepest postseason roster, more often than not, when your stars produce, you're probably in really good shape. And if they struggle, it's going to be a struggle for the team as a whole. And we've seen
Aaron Sanchez, the catching version of Aaron Judge, who, with the catching ability of Sanchez
jacked.
And the double the power, that would be a frightening combination.
Yes, or a great Blue Jays starting pitcher.
Yes, yeah.
And a famous chef. But no,
that's all wrong. So,
Aaron Judge, though, obviously his ALDS struggles were talked about, but even after the first two games of the ALCS, he was 2-for-27. I mean, this was a guy who obviously had been the Yankees' top offensive performer all year.
Has also been streaky.
Right. We saw that again and again. Game 3 hits the home run. And what I liked about that Game 3 home run is he missed the pitch he should have hit out, a pitch or two prior. That fastball over the plate, 94, and he knew he missed it. And he got another one up and in. And he didn't hit it all that high. I mean, it almost got in on his hands a little bit, but he's so strong, and Yankee Stadium is such a bandbox. He was able to get out, hits that homer, makes two great catches in right field. Game 4, he hits the mammoth home run to get the rally started, and then the game-tying double. And last night he had another RBI double as well. I mean, he's really turned it on. And Gary Sanchez.
And that was something John did predict. John said that Aaron Judge could put this team on his back.
And to some extent, he has. And then Gary Sanchez with the crucial, another big hit last night. Right now, if you're the Astros, you have to be sweating a little bit, not only because you're a game away from your season being over, but the fact that you had these guys held down and all of a sudden they're back.
Oh, so to me, the reason though, and I know that they have not hit. I mean, that is something, the best lineup in baseball is being beaten by pitching right now, whereas the second best lineup in baseball is basically doing pretty well in New York. I mean, that did help them, but to me, if I'm an Astros fan, what really concerns me right now is just answering the question of do you have anyone? Okay, so Justin Verlander may go out there and give you 9, where you don't have to worry about it. But do you have anyone in that pen right now, or do you have 2 guys in that pen, especially, who you are comfortable that you say, okay, this guy's got it when he comes in? Because right now, that's a big issue.
And here's where I want to tie this back to our trade deadline coverage. Obviously, we talked a lot about on July 31, we did our trade deadline podcast and talked about the Astros not doing enough. August comes around, they make that trade for the starter. But going back, knowing that there were opportunities in place for both Zach Britton and Brad Hand. Now, Britton seems like it was canned on the Orioles side of things.
Yeah, there's nothing that doesn't seem like there's
anything
they could
do. But you
look
the other way to a guy like a Brad Hand, and all reports were the Padres weren't asking for Forrest Whitley. They weren't asking for Franklin Perez. They weren't asking for, Kyle Tucker. should the Astros, knowing that this was going to be a weakness and knowing that they weren't going to have to give up any of their top-tier prospects, should they have made this trade? And is this something that you feel like is haunting them now?
I mean, they did make a trade.
For Francisco Liriano. Who no one would argue is effective.
Right, they made a lesser trade. Right. And then the other things that they did, which, again, I'm trying to, you know, let's reverse engineer it. Joe Musgrove with the moves and all, that allowed them to move Joe Musgrove to the pen, who, during the second half of the season, was really good out of the pen. Not been so good in the playoff. Chris Devinsky was supposed to be, and has been for them,
for 2 years now.
He's been for 2 years, this use him however long you want, however many innings you need, and he's going to dominate. And I think, I mean, he looks like he's somewhat out of gas, potentially, which makes sense. He's been used.
There were a lot of four-inning stints he was throwing, and that takes a toll on you throughout the course of the season.
But also the other part of it is that Ken Giles is the guy that they are relying on, and Ken Giles is also really struggling right now, too, at times. So, I mean, yes, in hindsight, I mean, really, like, to take it into a bigger picture, the Verlander moves, the Jose Quintana moves, those are the ones that really do, you know, get a lot of attention. But are we now in 2017 in a situation where what the Yankees did, I know they went and got Sonny Gray too, but what the Yankees did,
it's kind of a big one.
It's kind of big. But I'd say, like, but going out and getting Tommy Conley and David Robertson is kind of ended up being, I would say, as important in many ways, because they get to impact more games.
And the idea is, I think you need to do both. You use the Yankees example. They got that big starter, but hey, they also supplemented the bullpen. The Dodgers, obviously, Yu Darvish was the headliner, and even though there were a couple iffy starts in there, on the whole, 3.44 ERA over 9 starts. He's been great in the postseason. But Tony Cingrani and Tony Watson have also been money through the end of the season.
And that's scouting and development, because Cingrani comes in and he's a better pitcher than he was when the guy who arrived.
But the Tony Watson, had been an all-star, had been a really good, you know, one of those undervalued but very excellent left-handers in the game for a few years now. So, I mean, the idea that you can, today's game, the nature of pitching, where even if you get that one spectacular starter, like you said, in a 5-game series or a 7-game series, you're going to need to use a key bullpen guy 3-4 times, potentially. And right now, I look at what the Dodgers and the Yankees are saying, we're going to fortify both of those things. And if we have to give up, you know, a good prospect, you shouldn't empty your farm for it. But again, I go back to, if you're the Astros and you were able to get just another key bullpen piece, not saying they didn't have options with Giles and Devinsky and some of these other guys, but to further fortify it without having to give up a top 4 prospect in your system, I do fault them for not making that move. And I mean, even the discussions with the Justin Verlander trade, the breakdowns that came up and talked about how, you know, there was even some hesitation to make that at certain points. And it goes back to, you know, what the computer models say versus the reality of the situation on the ground. Almost it's an economics versus a behavioral economics argument in terms of just, you know, how human beings react to certain situations and the energy that Astros admitted they felt when they got Justin Verlander and their staff. I do think now, and I don't think it's hindsight. I mean, at the time it was, I think they might have made a mistake by not fortifying everything on their pitching staff. And now that we're seeing they only chose one, really, because Francisco Liriano was not a, you know, bona fide fortification. That was a, let's get another option in here. I go back to that's if this ends up costing the Astros, and it may not. They may go back to Houston. They may go back to Houston, but I think
They need to win 2 games at home with Justin Verlander pitching one of them, and Justin Verlander...
I like where they stand tonight, with Justin Verlander on the mound. There's no question about it.
But you don't like where they stand on Game 7.
No, not at all. but again, it's not as if this, you know, has wrecked the Astros season, but I do think you could... We said at the time, and now that we're seeing things play out, yeah, in order to put yourself in the best possible position to win, making a move for a Brad Hand type, if you didn't have to give... Look, if they had to go force Whitley to do it, yeah, don't do that. It does matter who you're giving up. It's not an end-all, be-all, do it or don't do it. It really does matter what you're giving up. But if you could have done that deal without giving up, even if you want to make Yordan Alvarez part of that and say you don't have to give up any of your top 4 or 5 prospects and you're talking about your 8th and your 19th, yeah, you should have made that trade. And we said that on July 31 when we did the study and showed, guess what? All these prospects that are traded at the deadline, less than 20% of them ever have any kind of consequential major league career. And if you're getting a controllable, all-star caliber, dynamite arm in the late innings, you should make that trade every time. And I don't, that's not hindsight. That's what we said on July 31. So I think in terms of the Astros putting themselves in the best position to win a long series, it was probably a move they should have made. And it, like I said, it may not hurt them. They may come back and win these two games, and it's a moot point. But I still think the overall, you know, again, putting yourself in the best possible position, it's something they should have done. And we're seeing it hurt them already in these couple of games.
Well, the other thing I think that is, you know, we don't want to not emphasize enough is that, look, the reality of it also is, though, is that if they lose this series, and I'm not saying they're going to, if they win this series, what's going to have to happen is that their lineup has to hit better than it has. You know, it is something where right now in this
series, George Springer's not hitting. Carlos Correa is not hitting.
147, 234, 213. The 213 is the number. They're slugging 213. Like, Correa's hitting 263 with a 526 slugging. Altuve's hitting 278, although for no extra base hits. That's it.
In this series or in the postseason?
That's the just this series.
Okay.
In this series, what I'm saying is in this series, those are the only two guys, and Gurriel's got a 412 slugging. But Brian McCann is 0 for 10. Josh Reddick is 0 for 17. George Springer, as you said, is 2 for 18 with no extra base hits. Alex Bregman's hitting 118. Carlos Beltran's hitting 083. Evan Gattis is 0 for 4. Like, Marwin Gonzalez, who's a super, he's a super, super utility. I love him. He's 2 for 15. Like, again, you've got to give some credit to the Yankees pitching staff, starting pitching and the relievers. But at the same time,
you're right, Correa's hitting better than I thought he was. But you're right, overall, they're still talking about seven of the 9 starters on any given night. They're not hitting. And that's, you know, something that's less controllable. You've put the right players on the field. And if they're just getting shut down against good pitchers, it happens.
But also when you say not controllable, like, if you put Ken Giles out there, that's your automatic call. And then if he, you know, gets shelled, well, then you go, well.
Right. I mean, some of it's building the bridge. But this is a situation where, honestly, I think just have to give credit to the Yankees. I mean, this is a staff top to bottom, you know, rotation to bullpen. Masahiro Tanaka delivered an amazing start again. Sonny Gray was fantastic in his outing. It was a little shorter than maybe you would have liked, but that was just because they went to the bullpen because they can do it.
I'll say this. If you get 5 innings out of Sonny Gray and he does that, you can win a World Series doing that.
With the Yankees bullpen, no question. I mean, I think this is – the Yankees have gotten great outings again from great pitchers. These are all guys, whether, you know, CeCe, Gray, Tanaka, Severino. These are really good starting pitchers. It's not like any of these guys are showing up off the street and out-pitching – you know, guys vastly superior to them. These are really good pitchers, and the Yankees are in the playoffs for a reason.
I mean, the reality is, again, if you want to sum it up, though, we are 5 games into this series, and the combo of Tommy Conley and David Robertson, we talk about, that was one trade, and the combination of them have pitched 5 times, have 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 run in 8 innings. Essentially, if you treat it that way, that trade they have given you, and those are generally have been high leverage innings, those guys are giving you, Tommy Conley, I think, did have to come in to save
Betances.
Yes. Less leverage there. But although Betances was making it into higher leverage. But they've given you 8 innings already. They're going to pitch more in this series. They're going to give you, they've pitched 8 innings. Again, it's 2 relievers. But those guys, 8 innings, they're going to end up, each of them, Tommy Conley's going to end up throwing as many innings as Sonny Gray does in the series or more. That's where these relievers making these moves, which generally you can do at a relatively modest cost. They paid, but it's not the same as what you have to give up for a Verlander. You'd rather get a Verlander. I'd rather have the guy who could come out there and give you 9 and shut them down, and you say, okay, we're going to win game six because we have Justin Verlander.
But there's not many of those guys out there.
There are not many of those guys out there. There are a lot of Tommy Connellys out there. And that's really the point that I'm making is he's really good, but it is easier. You said Brad Hand didn't get traded. Brad Hand is a reliever who has the ability to impact a postseason series. So that kind of, now we'll move it on to the nightcap last night, which...
Well, I have to ask, do you think the Astros win tonight, net game six, yeah. I should say, Justin Verlander on the mound. Do you see them coming back to win the whole series?
I'm staying loyal to my picks because I did pick the Astros to go to the World Series. I think I absolutely can see a plausible path for that, which really comes back to partly is they get back home and they hit. Right now, obviously it's a 3-2 lead. And look, Justin Verlander, let's say that Justin Verlander gives the Astros a 60% chance of winning tonight. Let's say that, not tonight, again, tomorrow. 60% chance. Let's say that. That's as matchups go in the postseason, that is as about high probabilities you're going to get. Well, that means that the Yankees would have a 40% chance of ending this in game six. And let's say even probability-wise that game seven is a 50-50 proposition, which I don't think it is, even then, that's a pretty massive advantage for the Yankees as far as, again, it doesn't mean the Astros can't do it, but as we said when it was 2-0 for the Astros, it's a very tough, to come back. Well, the Yankees have done that. The Astros are now in a difficult situation, especially when you say, okay, I'm not saying we're not going to see Keuchel again in the series because we've seen this nowadays in the postseason.
No
but
question.
We're not going to see Keuchel start again. We're probably going to see Verlander one more time in this series because in his case, I don't think you're going to see him because I think you're going to see him pitch a lot in this next game considering the bullpen. If you're the Yankees, you're not worried about Charlie Morton as much. You're not worried about Brad Peacock or Lance McCullers.
Although McCullers did pitch extremely really well.
But there's a difference between them being on the mound, Dallas Keuchel or Justin Verlander.
It'll be interesting. Again, I do like the Astros' chances in Game 6, but Game 7, it's... We'll see.
Now, the Cubs kept it alive. And a game that is the embodiment of 2017 baseball, every run scored in that game was a solo home run. Every single run. So they win. Obviously winning one game helps for them. But where do you see them now?
Not a whole lot changes. Again, the Dodgers are the better team. They're the team that's more well-rested. They've got the better bullpen. They've got the better starting pitching. They've, just in terms of performance and overall the lineup, the way it's performed start to finish in this series, the lineup is every bit as deep and has outperformed. Look, the Cubs finally, they've led. Javier Baez got together. They've led every game of the series. The Cubs have scored first every single game of the series. The only difference last night was their pitching held it up. Now, they've all been slim leads. It's been ones and twos. It hasn't been fours and fives. But Jake Arrieta pitched very well last night. We saw them go to Wade Davis early. And even though he gave up a run, he came in and when it was crunch time and had to make the pitches, he did.
Although this summarize the Cubs bullpen experience right now. Again, we're talking about bullpen. Wade Davis is right now not an automatic, okay, he comes in, those two innings are over. Like Kenley Jansen still feels like Kenley Jansen comes into the game, it's over.
Right.
Wade Davis gave up the solo homer, but he also
three walks as well. It wasn't the cleanest. And even the Nationals game, he did give up a run there, gave up a couple hits. It wasn't squeaky clean, but again, gets the job done. For me, it was more about Jake Arrieta, 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run. There were still 5 walks, which isn't pretty, but 9 Ks. His team gave him that early lead.
The breaking ball's working.
And he held it. And really, that's what's been missing for the Cubs this series. When your offense, kind of stops, takes the foot off the gas, and the pitching staff, even if the starters can keep it a game, the bullpen inevitably would cough it up. This was the best game the Cubs have played, the cleanest game they've played. I still don't see them going and winning 3 more straight against the Dodgers, including 2 of them in Los Angeles.
Oh, especially because, again, you're going to need the bullpen. Wade Davis went, you know, you needed Wade Davis to throw two to get you there, partly because you just right now, who is the second guy in that pen who they're comfortable?
It's honestly Brian Dunsing. And which he pitched last night. And he pitched last night.
Yeah.
It was only third, but he pitched. No, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, Carl Edwards Jr., obviously, walking Yu Darvish was just, I felt bad for the guy. I mean, that, he's a good pitcher who's had a rough postseason, and that was rock bottom. You know, Pedro Strop has been okay in spurts. I mean, Hector Rondon, they haven't trusted him. Back to the World Baseball Classic, I remember articles about, can the Cubs trust Hector Rondon this year? And look, he's blowing games in Venezuela's bullpen, so the answer is probably no. Was it Venezuela or the Dominican? It's so long ago, it's a little crazy. But overall, yeah, there's not the depth of arms. And you compare it, you know, again, to the Dodgers' bullpen last night. Alex Wood went 4 2/3. The bullpen went in and shut it down. Bullpen didn't give up another run the whole game.
No, I mean, in the Dodgers' bullpen, you have Kenley Jansen, who is as close to automatic when he comes in and basically takes on two outs, two inning saves, and says, bring them on, I love them.
And moving Kenta Maeda to the bullpen.
And Maeda is an absolutely legit setup man. Then you have Brandon Morrow, and you have Tony Watson, and you have Tony Cingrani. He wasn't that great last
year. And by the way, Ross Stripling had a pretty solid year in that bullpen over the course of the year, a 3.7 ERA. Again, went in last night, pitched a clean inning. Again, just an extra arm that isn't sexy, but for the most part, pretty reliable, and has been most of the year. I mean, the Dodgers have guys they can throw at you and throw at you and throw at you and hold you down, and the Cubs right now don't have that.
Right. Again, it's not that the Cubs can't, you know, come back to win the series, but it is something where the odds are very much as a big win for them yesterday. And by the way, kudos to that crowd. I don't know if anyone at Wrigley Field sat down the entire game. I mean, it was, you know, impressive for, you know, just the crowd there. It was what you would expect. But, you know, they really, for them to win it, is going to rely on, they've been relying on the power, and they have power, but it's still just going to be hard to see. You've got Kershaw, you know, kind of sitting, you know, waiting in the wings to potentially finish this off. And then you have, but the other thing is that if this did get to, you know, going seven, the Dodgers have a more, I keep coming back to it, the Dodgers are more rested. The Dodgers...
The Cubs looked tired the first couple games. I mean, how poorly they were playing, you could see it. They were very much out of gas. Last night was a little bit of an energy booster, but making it stand up.
But like, especially their bullpen's not as good as the Dodgers' bullpen when everyone's rested. But they had to work so hard to get here, whereas the Dodgers did not. You know, you are talking about a situation where you say that's part of this too. Like, I do think that there's a part of this that says, you know, poor Carl Edwards Jr. is, you know, he's just throwing and throwing and throwing. You know, he's made seven appearances in the playoffs so far. And he hasn't been very good, and he still made seven appearances.
One thing tonight that'll be interesting to me, we've got Clayton Kershaw, Jose Quintana. That's the pitching matchup. Kershaw is going to be interesting. I mean, look, we have seen it a lot. His postseason outings have not been his best. That's been the book on him for a while, and it's kind of continued. He hasn't been terrible this year, but it hasn't been Kershaw-esque. I'd be interested to say, if he can go out and shut down the Cubs and clinch the Dodgers' first World Series appearance since 1988, I feel like that'd be a huge weight off of his shoulders and something that's pretty big. If he goes out and gets roughed up, that's going to be what I'm watching, you know. We've talked a lot about, people talked about Kershaw and all his posts and struggles without taking into account he was starting on short rest pretty much every single appearance, and he hasn't had to do that at all this postseason.
And goes on top of that, I would credit whoever first pointed this out. It was on Twitter, and I apologize. I cannot remember who did. But the point is that when he gets to the postseason also for Kershaw, he... every time out, it is the expectation that he's going to go deep. And, you know, a lot of times his trouble runs into is, you know, he tries to stretch it one more inning. Then, you know, I know he's had some early inning trouble too, but there are times where, you know, you go back to 14 postseason, and he gave up 8 runs in 6 2/3 innings. And, you know, part of, he is, as the ace, it is the what the ace has to wear, but he's expected to go deep, save the bullpen when he goes out there. And I'll be interested to see. They don't need him to do that right now as much. Like, they have a rested bullpen, but he is playing
Kershaw. It did get used a little bit yesterday with Wood going 4 2/3, but again, it's like they've been used, rolled out there every single game. These guys are capable of pitching back-to-backs. No, I think that Kershaw, you know, tonight it's going to be, you know, could be a big moment for him. And look, Jose Quintana has done what he's supposed to do for the Cubs in the postseason. He had a really nice start his last outing. I mean, just got to see if the Cubs can give him the support.
Now, let me ask you on that, though. We talked about the Astros and their bullpen. The Cubs went out and got Jose Quintana. Looking back on it, and I don't think we said this at the time, but looking back on it, in hindsight, should the Cubs have done a little bit more
for bullpen? Got Justin Wilson. It just hasn't made the difference. So I think, for me, you can't fault the Cubs' process. There's times where you can do the right thing and it just doesn't work out.
You got to trust the process.
That, to me, is less of an issue than not being honest with yourself about what you need and going out and doing it. So to me, the Cubs, look, if they lose, it happens. They're playing the best team in baseball for the course of the season.
If this Cubs team loses to Kershaw and they're done for the year, this is still we're still in the middle of the greatest run of Cubs baseball.
Three straight NLCSs. They've never done that. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, winning a World Series. I mean, it's kind of funny, the idea that there might be some Cubs fans out there angry and upset and everything. Guys, you can't complain for at least another, like, 10 years minimum. Like,
this is also a team, you know, again, they're not done yet for this year, but also it's also a team that they're built for to be around again. The other thing with that is that this Dodgers team they're facing is doing this, and Corey Seager is not playing.
Which is,
I mean, that's
maybe the most incredible thing about the run they're on. There's no question about it.
But you know what? With that, before we wrap this up, we do have to talk about, like, they're not getting anything. Corey Seager's hurt, but Yasiel Puig is, you know, is in a locked-in mode right now.
Chris Taylor's been locked in as
Chris Taylor's locked in. Justin Turner is always locked in. But Justin, this is one of the things that stands out is just how this team is really deep when it comes to the lineup. It's not one guy. I mean, it's really not. And that allows them that they can lose one of the best players in baseball and they just shrug it off.
And again, talk about making sure your team has the depth to survive a 162-game season. Potentially, you know, postseason, theoretically, you could have a stretch of 19 games and 24-ish days with a lot of cross-country travel. And they've built that, and that's a testament to the Dodgers and all the, you know, different pieces they brought in. Yes, they have this ginormous payroll, and that is a factor. It will always be a factor. They've also done a really good job finding those guys who can come in and, you know, on a minimum-type contract, make a contribution. And it's a testament really to their pro scouting department, I think, above all.
Yeah. But, well, we will be back again tomorrow. Hope to have John back on the podcast tomorrow. He's working on some stuff. We've got an issue going out today. So we do want to thank you for tuning in. We do want to remind you also that today's podcast was sponsored by Baseballism. Don't forget to shop now at baseballism.com and enter the offer code BASHIP to receive free shipping on your order. Visit baseballism.com to shop for hats, shirts, and more today. For Kyle Glazer, I am JJ Cooper. We appreciate the download, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.